This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The thousands, the millions, and millions of the Roosters fans. Or maybe not millions. Probably about 400 of you that like me and about 10,000 of you that can't stand my guts and would rather be listening to Al Galdi. Anyway, we welcome you aboard on a Friday night. Sean Summers on the other side of the glass, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Now, I did promise on Twitter that I would have a response to Landfill and his ridiculous, absurd allegations and rant at about roughly 6:05, starting roughly. You can hit the radio.com rewind app and feature and go back to listen exactly so you know what kind of raving lunatic we're thinking about and dealing with, okay? But instead, I said, you know what? Instead of crashing the segment, instead of trying to get into a fight and getting all mad, I said, look, I'm just going to respond like I have 4 hours to 3.5 hours, whatever it is, to fill on my radio show, so I'm just going to start my radio show with it, get it over with, and then we're going to move on and actually do what I wanted to do, because this is not what I wanted to do. What I didn't want to do was to turn over, essentially, my first segment of my radio show, still an afternoon drive, right, even though it's evening, to Landfill. But the allegations were quite absurd, and the charges were absolutely incoherent and complete blithering idiocy. So, I decided to bring Landfill in to the studio. First things first, it should be pointed out for the record. I asked Landfill to turn on the desktop computer that Grant, for some reason, turns off every single day. We still haven't discovered why he does this. It is like everything around here, like every plug, every outlet, literally about 6 feet underneath a table. Landfill took one look at it and says, can't do it. Can't do it. There's no chance. I'm not doing it. I mean, and I was like, I just put my headsets on and I was like, okay.
Well, it first took me like 3 minutes to actually find the computer because it's so far underneath the table.
And this is one, and like, we don't agree on many things. This place was literally designed by three blind mice, right?
It's absurd that that is what you have to do to turn the computer on so you can take calls.
But it's not only the computer. It's like every outlet strip or whatever it is. Literally, you get rotator cuff tendonitis and pain. Can you separate your rotator cuff or you tear your rotator cuff? I probably had about 10, 15... maybe 150 torn rotator cuffs since I've been back here in 2015, I guess it was.
We have a studio downstairs where there's no place for you to plug your phone in to charge it, except for the ceiling, which is 10 feet high.
Right, and there's no hot water.
There are literally outlets on the ceiling.
Yeah, and there's no hot water either, which actually was a good thing because it spared my hair. I was not able, or they were not at the Roosters Grooming Lounge place. They were not able to go skin on my head when I had to get my head shaved. But anyway, all of that aside. So, Landfill could not get my computer on. So, we're dealing with no computer here. So, we can't take your calls about this to separate and to decide who's going to win this battle. But for those of you that missed it, for those of you, for those of you that have not heard the rant that Landfill had at around 6 o'clock. Again, you don't want to go. You want to go back to the radio.com rewind feature earlier. Basically, in a nutshell, Landfill, you said, you took umbrage to something I said on this show last night, where I was critical of you, essentially, for saying that Eric Schaefer was not worth anything and that he should have been fired and everyone should have been fired. And if the Redskins were a three-win team, there's nobody that was good at their job. Is that generally the nuts and bolts of what you were saying?
Not quite. What I said was that...
Except for Terry McLaurin, right?
Terry McLaurin is fantastic.
Right.
I said the Redskins are a three-win team, which is in fact true, and that if Ron Rivera wants to replace anybody, we should be okay with that because there's nobody there who's so obviously fantastic at their job. Except Terry McLaurin, that's having a huge impact on this team.
So we just make an exception. We just make an exception for Terry McLaurin and everyone else can get fired, right?
Yes, that is exactly correct.
All right, so that's ridiculous assertion number one. Number two, the one that really got me hot under the collar is you made this claim a couple of times, Landy Poland, that, speaking of radio stations, you can't hear. Anyway, so you made this assertion. What are you doing, Brock? So you made this assertion a couple of times in Afternoon Drive Radio on a top-rated sports talk radio program hosted by Chad Dukes. Chad Dukes versus the world. You might be familiar.
I do know him.
Right. You made the assertion that I only like Eric Schaefer because he returns my text messages.
That is exactly what I said.
You said that at least twice. It may have been three times.
I said that you and everyone else that covers the Redskins will defend Eric Schaefer to the ends of the earth because he responds to your text messages. He's nice to you.
Right.
That's why.
Right. And you know that how?
I know that because there's no other reason for you guys to be defending Eric Schaefer like this. He doesn't matter. He's a cap guy. We had a cap penalty.
Do you know that I defend and advocate for Kyle Smith all the time? I don't even have
Kyle. He can go too.
I don't even have Kyle Smith's phone number.
Kyle Smith can go as well.
Okay. Do you know that I advocate for Dustin Hopkins all the time? I don't have his phone number.
Dustin Hopkins is another guy who could go. He's a kicker.
Sure.
Not important.
Absolutely. Do you know that I advocate for Tressway all the time?
Tressway,
don't have his number.
Another guy who could go.
Sure.
Best get player on the team, but he's a punter.
Get
doesn't
rid of
matter.
The only pro bowler you have.
Doesn't matter.
Sure. Get rid of everybody except for Terry McLaurin.
For Terry McLaurin.
The scout himself.
Everyone.
Land.
Everyone can go except for Terry.
Filler of land. It should be 1 versus 53 on opening day next year. Fire everybody.
I'm not suggesting they don't bring more people in, but if they want to get rid of...
Destroy the building, pop the bubble with a pin, level the place, fire everybody, and have it be Terry McLaurin versus the world instead of Chad Dukes versus the world, right?
If Ron Rivera comes in and says, Tressway's got to go, I'm bringing in my punter, I don't care. Tressway goes and he brings in his punter.
Right, because why would you want a Pro Bowl punter on a 3-13
team? He's the punter!
Team?
It doesn't matter!
You need him!
No, you don't!
Yes,
you need a quarterback! You need running backs! You need offensive linemen!
That's
who cares
the point?
About the punter?
That's... Dude, I don't want to give you a heart attack, man. Relax. Jesus Christ. I've never seen you this upset. You don't need to fill what you already have high quality at.
What they already have is a 3-13 roster.
Okay.
A 3-13 organization.
Not everybody is equally responsible, you big dummy,
for a
3-13 season.
And says we're changing the team colors. Everybody's going. It's happening.
You don't think
they can win with Ron.
You don't think the big loser that was running the organization was mostly responsible for a 3-13 record?
Bruce is gone. They hired competent people.
Okay,
and
fine.
If the competent people come in and say, this guy's got to go, then
can
go.
What if they say Terry McLaurin's got to go?
Then fire him because they're idiots.
Oh!
He's the only guy who's actually good.
Oh, wait a second. Are you and Terry McLaurin texting?
I'm not texting. He's great. I love him.
Does he return your text messages?
Never met
him. Can I check your phone?
Couldn't tell you what he looks like.
Because you haven't ever looked at my phone, nor would I let you, and you have no idea who I text for my information.
I do know. You text Eric Schaefer.
No, I don't.
You lost the source. That's why you're mad.
No, I don't, dummy.
Everyone knows it.
I lose sources all the time.
Like
I'm
Eric
not
Schaefer.
Mad about anything. I keep covering
the
Redskins.
We saw the tweet when
I keep breaking stories.
Next job. Everyone saw it.
I keep breaking stories and I keep...
Because Eric Schaefer's leaking them to you.
He's not leaking them to me because if he was leaking to me, big dumbass, I would have broken the story. Instead, Doc Walker broke it a week and a half ago.
And he's leaking to Doc too.
So you just think that's the only way people find out is if, duh, Eric Schaefer, Texas?
I'm saying Eric Schaefer's clearly talking to you guys. That's why you're defending him.
Oh, right.
He's clearly talking to you.
I've never defended anybody. How many times did I defend Kevin O'Connell and say, you know what?
Kevin O'Connell, we had the 28th ranked scoring offense in 2018. Oh. Then Kevin O'Connell took over and we went to 32. He can go as well. Who cares?
Oh, but
we can do better.
But I'm only defending him because
we can do better.
I'm only defending him because he's texting, right? That's your point, right?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Kevin O'Connell's been texting you.
Okay. All right. So just so we're clear, you are speculating that the only reason why I defend guys, you don't know this for sure because I wouldn't let you into my phone and you don't deserve to have access to my phone. You're only speculating that I defend guys solely and strictly because I text with them, correct?
I'm speculating that you defend guys because you text with them because there's no other excuse for you constantly defending guys who aren't good at their job.
No, you're right.
Jim Haslett, guys like Joe Barry.
No, you're right.
Guys like Kevin O'Connell,
I should be a
who
complete...
coordinated the Redskins offense to the fewest points in the league.
No, you know what? This is what I should do. I should be a complete irresponsible buffoon like you and come on the radio airwaves 4 hours a day in Market 6 and yell and scream how everybody sucks, everybody should be fired.
Russell,
because if they won only three games, everyone is equally responsible for that, except for freaking King Terry McLaurin.
They won one playoff game this millennium.
King Terry McLaurin is the only one that should survive. He should be sitting there golf clapping and waving like Queen freaking Elizabeth at the top of the castle while everyone else is on the guillotine with their heads cut off.
Terry McLaurin
right?
is great despite
That's
the incompetence of Kevin O'Connell.
That's
he still succeeded.
That's what I should do,
King
right?
Terry, get rid of everyone
else. Am I allowed to defend Terry McLaurin at any point because him and I don't text?
I give you a pass for Terry.
Oh,
because he's
okay.
great.
Special pass.
He's great.
Special pass, okay.
Everyone else, average at best. At worst, they're terrible.
At worst,
they saw a growth on a dude's head for 5 years and said, don't worry about it, bro. It definitely ain't cancer.
Oh, I'm not telling you Larry Hess is any good. I mean, I tried to tell everybody that for years. Nobody would listen to me.
They could get rid of anyone, and I wouldn't care, except for Terry. That's it. Russell, they've been one of the worst franchises in the sport.
You don't want to keep Steven Sims. You don't want to keep Darius Geis. You don't want to keep
Russell,
Adrian
Darius
Peterson.
Geis has played in like 5 games in 2 years.
I got it. Injuries happen.
If Ron Rivera came in and said, we need to do better at running back, let's do it.
Hey, you know what? You ran commercials today that are old. So, I mean, maybe we should fire your ass.
You know who CK could definitely find somebody who's better at their job than? Me. Could definitely find somebody better than me.
Well, he could probably find somebody better than me, too.
And here we are.
Maybe you and I should go into business together.
We couldn't be worse. We couldn't be worse than the people running the Redskins for the last 15 years, which Eric Schaefer was.
Oh, yeah, because he was running the Redskins.
They're bragging on the website about how he negotiates the contracts.
Dan Snyder... Bruce Allen and Vinny Serrato, three stooges, weren't running the Redskins over Eric Schaefer.
He manages the salary cap. They had a $36 million cap penalty, Russell.
Yeah, you think that was Eric Schaefer's fault, right?
He's the cap manager. Accountability.
So you think just because it's listed on the website of Redskins.com that's the way the reality is, right? That Bruce Allen had no knowledge of that.
Who did?
Bruce Allen didn't say and order that.
Here's what you're doing. You have a vendetta against Bruce Allen, so you're trying to build up...
You have a vendetta against Eric Schaefer and anyone that was apparently involved in a 3-13 team, except for your buddy, Terry McLaurin, who everybody likes, and who it's the only good point you've made that Terry McLaurin needs to stay.
Terry is great, and I love him.
Right. Everyone else sucks.
Everyone else can go. Okay. I'm not saying they suck at their jobs, but I'm saying if Ron Rivera wants them gone, they can leave. It doesn't matter to the organization. Doesn't matter
what
to their future.
What happens if Ron Rivera and the Redskins go 3-13 again this year? Should everybody lose their job?
Ron Rivera gets a couple of years grace period, okay. But if they still suck 3 years from now, yeah, Ron Rivera can go too.
Okay.
All right. If they're terrible after 3 seasons, yep, you can go find another head coach. You can find other coordinators. You can find other players.
You want to do the whole show, Landfill, so I can go to the company holiday party?
No, I'm okay. I'm going to go to Arby's.
You're going to Arby's?
Yeah.
Beef, bacon, and cheddar?
beef, bacon, and cheddar, 2 for $6. Yeah.
After all this hard work, Landy is going out to dinner by himself.
Terry McLaurin is great. In a car. I love him.
He's going to bathe in horsey sauce. He's just going to slather horsey sauce all over his chest. He's going to put some spiral french fries in his ears. All right, we got to take a break. Unfortunately, the fun and frolic has to end, boys and girls. Landfill, thanks for joining me and ruining the show.
Yeah, I that's what I do. Thanks for having me, Rooster.
I appreciate it. I know you're used to just ruining the 4.5 hours in afternoon drive. Now we've just extended it to almost 7 o'clock right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I apologize for blowing out your eardrums with a war, a feud of epic proportions between the two heavyweight champions of 106.7 The Fan. That would be Jim Landfill Mullins, Fuller of Land, who's actually the acting program director right now because the other two are probably half in the sauce at this point at the company holiday party, which Sean and I weren't invited to. At the MGM Grand. If anybody's at the, what do they call it? MGM National Harbor, not MGM Grand. That's in Vegas. That's where the Caps won the Stanley Cup. If anybody is at National Harbor tonight, or MGM National Harbor, better yet, can you spy for us and take illicit video of people doing crazy things at the Entercom DC radio party that we weren't invited to? Please. Like if you see blue shorts, if you see Dukes, who apparently was going, which I never thought he would go, right? Or was that a bit? I don't know. I was shocked when he said he was going. I figured he would be at Hooters at 7:30. If you see anything suspicious, if you see anybody acting like a complete clown, we need to know. You can tweet me at WrestleMania621. And hell, you can tweet Landfill too. I'm sure he'll enjoy those escapades over the weekend. You got any plans this weekend, Landy, or no? Just hanging out?
Just watching a whole lot of football.
Who do you got in the games real quick?
I got the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, and the Niners.
Ravens and Chiefs covering the number or no? You laying the big number or no?
I'm not sure what the spread is, but I'm pretty sure the Ravens will cover. I think there's a better chance that Lamar Jackson sits out the fourth quarter because the Ravens are ahead by so much than the Titans actually managed to win.
Wow. Even without possibly having Mark Ingram? Wow. Interesting. That's Landfill's analysis, man. All right, we're going to come back and do a real radio show for you. We're going to talk about Ron Rivera. We're going to talk about Dwayne Haskins. We're going to talk about the quarterback situation. And we're going to talk about the future, short and long term. We're going to do it right after Craig Heiss, live from Capital One Arena in just a couple moments. All right, thank you very much, Heistar. So the Wizards getting started, and our radio show now will officially start after we just probably annoyed you to no end screaming about Eric Schaefer and a 3-win football team. And there's, listen, no doubt that anybody that has been here, anybody, should be available for consideration to move on from, but we know that doesn't work that way, right? We know that, sure, they can make whatever changes they want, and probably 20, if not 25, roughly half of the 50-man roster, okay, that is the main 50-man roster because, you know, the three specialists, which comprise the 53, they're not going anywhere, okay? So 50 guys. If you take the best 50 guys that played at any one point for the Washington Redskins, probably roughly up to 25 of them are going to be gone, okay? Maybe it's 20, maybe it's 25, I don't know. But there's going to be a lot of change. There's going to be a lot of change. So everybody certainly warrants consideration, right? Everyone. In terms of moving on and doing something different. But we know the best are going to stay, or the guys that have prohibitive contracts are going to stay. We know there's going to be certain guys that are gone. I think we can figure out a lot of them, but then there are that group that, you know, you just don't know, adjustment scheme-wise, salary cap-wise, how Rivera sees a football player, how Del Rio sees a football player, how Scott Turner sees a football player. We just don't know. They're going to have to, they're getting their scouts up to speed on that now. One of the things that I learned in my years of covering a beat is whenever you hire a new head coach and therefore a new coaching staff, right? Not only does the coaching staff have to be symbiotic and in line with the head coach and the vision of the head coach, and really it helps obviously for the head coach and the general manager to be having the same vision, the same philosophy. That's why it's smart for the head coach essentially to hire the GM, because the head coach ain't going to hire somebody that has a completely different philosophy than he does. Whereas the GM, if he's doing the hiring, the head coach can say a lot of things, can blow his skirt up a little bit, and then completely do something different. You know, essentially what happened with Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden said, no, I can work with Robert. I'm good. I love him. Oh, who wouldn't love that guy? And as soon as he watched tape, he couldn't stand him. And he was ready to get rid of him before the first week of training camp was over in 2014. That's how bad it was. But he told a good story to Bruce and Dan. Right? So anyway, long story short, Ron Rivera is going to change a lot of components of this roster and of this organization. And I'm not saying that there aren't plenty of people that were not doing their job, that were not doing it well enough because the culture was so bad, because the atmosphere was so bad. So bad. I mean, I'm not in that building anymore. As a matter of fact, the only day that I've been in that building I was there, I guess, in March or whatever it was, but then last week for Rivera's press conference. That's it. You know, so I can't tell you that I've been in that building anywhere close to what I used to be. And that's okay. I don't want to be. Okay? No interest. No thanks. Now, I do truly believe it's going to be better with Rivera, because Rivera, he might not have all the answers. He might not be right on everything. He's going to do some things driving you crazy. But as I said today in my story on SI.com about Doug Williams is finally in a role that Doug Williams is going to be good at and is going to be most beneficial at. Why? Because a freaking adult is now in charge. A real live adult human being is in charge. Instead, Doug was miscast and embarrassed because the old guy didn't know how to run a front office. And Doug made himself look bad, and Bruce made himself look bad, and everyone looked bad. Now you have a real adult in charge. And as you can see, Doug Williams, yes, people are calling it a demotion. I believe I referenced it as well yet last night as well. It's certainly a demotion or a change in title. You can look at it as a demotion, and it's hard to deny that it's not a demotion, right? I choose to look at it as a much, much, much better fit for what Doug Williams can bring. He can still help advise and counsel Dwayne Haskins and other young football players because he's been there, done it all, seen it all. He's made NFL history, professional sports history, Redskins history. He's done it all. Done it all. But Doug Williams is in a better position for himself right now because the Redskins are being properly run by a real live adult. So I realize that some good people are going to be let go. I realize that. Good people are going to be let go. Schaefer, maybe Kyle Smith, maybe Alex Santos. Good coaches were let go. What I fight back with is this absurd notion that just because it was a 3-13 team, everyone should be sacrificed or everyone should be crowded around, you know, the center of the stage and the axe could fall on any of them. Because we're not going to operate like that. Jonathan Allen's not going anywhere. Landon Collins is not going anywhere. Cole Holcomb's not going anywhere. Daron Payne's not going anywhere. Montez Sweat's not going anywhere. Quentin Dunbar's not going anywhere. Terry McLaurin, Kelvin Harmon, Steven Sims, Dwayne Haskins, Darius Geis. I can't say that absolutely for Adrian Peterson, but I'd be surprised. Those guys are not going anywhere. Right? Why? Because they're talented football players. They're youngish. They're under contract. You have a salary cap. Obviously, you don't have that with executives. That's fine. My point of the matter is, I can still think that the Redskins could benefit by keeping a certain individual or a certain person that Ron Rivera feels he's got a better option for. Reasonable minds disagree. It has nothing to do with texting people. It has nothing to do with sources. It has nothing to do with any of that. I defend Joe Barry all the time. I don't text with Joe Barry. I don't even have his number. I wish I did. I don't. I didn't know Joe Barry that well. I knew him, but I wasn't on the beat for his 2 years here. I was around, but I wasn't around enough. I say that just to point out, again, as we wrap up this portion of our opening 45 minutes here, that the Washington Redskins are being rebuilt, and they desperately need it. They desperately needed a house cleaning. They desperately needed to be stripped basically to the foundation. But reasonable minds can disagree. Reasonable minds can disagree on whether they're going to miss somebody or whether that person is important or not. What is unreasonable, and this is what I've been fighting back on, is to say, well, because they were 3-13, everyone should be fired or everyone could get fired. Because we're only saying that because in Landfill's case, and for you out there that don't care about this type of thing, and there's plenty of you, you guys can't quantifiably measure what Schaefer or what another, you know, LaFamina last year or whatever the situation is. You guys, or a wide receivers coach or whatever, right? An offensive line coach. They're firing, they let go of Phil Rauscher, right? He's widely regarded as a really good young offensive line coach. Widely regarded. Kevin O'Connell, widely regarded. He might wind up in Philadelphia. But the point of the matter is, good people are going to lose their job. It's not because they were 3-13 and everyone should be fired or everyone should be up for consideration to be fired or let go. It's because in a case like Schaefer, in a case like Kevin O'Connell, Ron Rivera felt and feels he's got people that he knows better and he needs to be on the same page right away with them. He can't spend the time to be learning and trying to develop a friendship and a relationship and a trust with guys that he doesn't know, even though they come with impeccable credentials. So I understand that. I just take umbrage with those that say, well, they were 3-13. How good could they be? They were 3-13. They suck. Who cares? So I'm using Landfill and obviously his ridiculous rant as a way to yell at all of you who say that. Because you're wrong. You're dead wrong. Because if, again, like I said last night, we're going to use that theory, then all the guys you like should be out too. All of them. Every last damn one of them. Because they were just as equally responsible and in some ways more for a 3-13 record. Now, weren't they? But we don't play it like that. We don't play the game that way. You're only, those of you that are, that doesn't matter what they do. Ah, who cares? It's only because you can't quantifiably see and measure a guy like Schaefer or a position, you know, a position coach like Rauscher, just for argument's sake, or Jim Tomsula. I mean, you guys can't quantifiably measure that. It doesn't mean anything to you. But if I said to you, well, if we're going to use that principle, if we're going to use that philosophy that anybody should be available for sacrifice, then let's get rid of the running back that y'all love. Let's get rid of some of the young wide receivers that y'all love. Let's get rid of the safety that you guys just frothed at the mouth over that didn't really do anything this year. You know? Let's do that. Or how about let's get rid of the quarterback? Coming up next, we're going to get into this. Ron Rivera had some interesting things to say at his opening introductory press conference a week ago, 8 days ago, right? Ron Rivera also made it clear that nobody is given anything and handed anything. So could it be that he's unsure of Dwayne Haskins and that in his mind, truly and honestly, he is not fixed on having Dwayne Haskins as his starting quarterback? We'll explain what we mean and the possible options if that's the way he is feeling. And I don't know exactly how he's feeling. But we'll explain what we mean and we'll try and reach out to you guys to find out whether that would be okay in your eyes, whether that would be the understandable and just thing if Ron Rivera wasn't totally sold on Dwayne Haskins to either go another way or to bring in somebody that could absolutely challenge him for the starting spot. Because right now that guy isn't here and isn't medically cleared to play, but he could be brought in from outside the building. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Plus we'll talk NFL playoffs and more. Nats Winterfest this weekend. We can talk certainly a lot of Nats as they're getting arbitration eligible guys done and under contract for 2020 as they defend their first World Series championship. We're with you until 10 right here on The Fan. Meeting with the current strength and conditioning coach, which we assume is still going to be Chad Englehart. It should be. And that's when, if my understanding of the CBA is correct, that's when they can first start meeting with their position coaches. Like, again, they can talk, but everything has to be like informally. Like Ron Rivera and Scott Turner cannot take Dwayne Haskins into a film room for 6 hours and force him to stay and teach him their offense next week. They can't do that. Now, are there ways to get around that? Of course there are. Who knows what they're doing? Okay? Hopefully, they are bending the rules a little bit, as long as you don't get caught. Hopefully, they are giving him some stuff to look at, or he is taking the initiative somehow, some way, watching Carolina tape, whatever. All of this stuff is accessible. All of this stuff is, he doesn't have to be in the building. He can be wherever he wants to be. It's all on his iPad, all easy to find, okay? But here's the interesting part. Rivera was asked at his press conference about an if Dwayne Haskins can become like a franchise quarterback, the guy, right? And Rivera gave an interesting answer that satisfied both sides of the aisle. Just depends on what side of the aisle you're on. It depends on what you want to believe and what you heard. So I want you to listen to this, and then we're going to dig deeper with another cut, and then we're going to get to you guys on the phone and the future, short-term and long-term, for this organization, because I think it's much more complicated than people are making it. So here is Ron Rivera from his introductory press conference, aired live here on 106.7 The Fan last Thursday afternoon, about Dwayne Haskins becoming potentially a franchise quarterback.
I think he can become a franchise-style quarterback. I do. I think it's going to be a time. It's a process, though. I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight. But I've been fortunate that, you know, several years ago we drafted a guy as the number one pick, and we had a plan. And what we're trying to do right now is develop that plan for his development as we go forward. I also think there's a couple of good veteran quarterbacks that are obviously going to get some opportunities to play as well. We won't know until we get ready to open up in September. So until then, everything's just a process. It's a work in process. We can't get ahead of it. We've got to stay to the plan and make sure we're preparing ourselves properly to win football games.
All right, so that was a long but detailed answer. But again, depending on which side of the aisle you fall in on, and I'm obviously using that as a figurative term, you could interpret that a couple of different ways, right? When Ron Rivera says, quote, I think he can become a franchise-style quarterback, but immediately says it's a process, though. It doesn't happen overnight, right? Because we all understand a franchise quarterback is not only one that is excellent on the field, but also one that you never have to worry about off the field in terms of A, getting in trouble, B, work ethic, C, studying, evaluating, game planning, coordinating, everything that a quarterback has to do, all of the intangible stuff that nobody ever wants to talk about that I kept preaching and kept screaming and kept telling you that Dwayne Haskins wasn't ready for. You know, when everybody would say, well, Jay doesn't like him, Jay doesn't like him. True. But it was because he wasn't ready. And even when he started and played in games, he was far from ready. And this is why I am somewhat concerned about year one into year two, is because, again, that is when generally a quarterback, not generally, specifically every quarterback coach and offensive coordinator and head coach and quarterback that I've ever covered talks about that jump from year one to year two. You can't have that jump. You can't have that natural jump go as high as you want if you're not in the same system. It could be a similar system, but it's a different dialect. Think about it, right? And I'm speaking a little bit out of term, but there's multiple dialects for those that speak Spanish or a form of Spanish, right? I mean, there's different dialects. There's different ways of saying things, right? I mean, we don't have that as much in English, but I guess there is different meanings and methods to each and every word, right? And certainly grammar, there's 1,000 different rules. None of them make sense. Okay? So to me, when you have Ron Rivera say, I think he can become a franchise-style quarterback, instead of I know he can. And then when he says, it's a process, though, I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight. But then what he also mentioned was, quote, I also think there's a couple of good veteran quarterbacks that will get some opportunities to play as well. Well, who's that? I mean, Alex Smith, we don't know if he's going to be ready. Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, they're not under contract. So who is that? Does he mean a free agent from the outside that he's already got his eyes on? Does he mean they're going to? I mean, that doesn't mean, because of the way he said it, right? If we're taking his words literally, he said a couple of good veteran quarterbacks. So that doesn't mean somebody in the draft. if, again, his words are exactly what he meant. Everyone kind of presumed that he was talking about Case Keenum and Colt McCoy and Alex Smith. The problem is again, Keenum and McCoy aren't under contract, and nobody thinks that Alex Smith is going to be I shouldn't say nobody. Many people think that Alex Smith is never going to play again. Right? And even he admitted to us a week and a half ago, I don't know, guys. Don't know the timeline. I'm working towards it, but I don't know the timeline. Right, so I mean, if he doesn't know the timeline, nobody else seems to know the timeline. How could the Redskins know the timeline? Especially with their sordid medical history and past. I would assume that would be up to the new trainer and the new people that they are incorporating into the fold, along with Dr. Robin West. One more soundbite here before we get to the high star about Dwayne Haskins being a leader, because think about this. If you're trying to change the culture, how do you change the culture? You win games, right? That often changes the culture. But even when you win games, if you do it the wrong way and the process is bleeped up, you're going to have problems. It's going to be fleeting. So you've got to win the right way, and you've got to be a leader, and you've got to evolve, and you've got to mature, and you've got to grow up. And I think one of the things that has always been mentioned as a criticism of Dwayne Haskins is his immaturity. He should be immature, but the Redskins need him to be 32, not 22. So here's Rivera on Haskins, the leader.
Well, I think, first of all, he's going to have to step up and become a leader. I mean, all the great ones have become leaders, and they become leaders whether they're rookies, okay, or they're 10, 12-year vets. But you've got to step up. You've got to be where you need to be. You've got to do things you're supposed to do. It's all going to start with your off season. How do you prepare yourself? How do you get yourself ready? I think it's probably one of the biggest things that we've got to do, and not just with him, but every one of our players have got to understand that this is an opportunity to lead. You know, I'm going to do something where I try to create opportunities for every player to step up and be the leader at one time or the other. He doesn't have to be, you know, one of the greatest players to play running back, okay? He's got to be a guy that's willing to step up in front of his teammates and tell him, hey, let's go, man. Let's roll.
All right, so that's Ron Rivera at his introductory press conference. So here's what I want from you guys at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. When Ron Rivera says he's got to learn how to be a leader and that there are veteran quarterbacks that we should expect to see play and he won't have a decision until September, and I think he can become a franchise-style quarterback. Does that mean anything to you? Does that count in any way, shape, or form to you? Or do you think that's just something to say and it means nothing and Ron Rivera is going to be in love with Dwayne Haskins and we are ready to roll week one, no doubt in your mind about Dwayne Haskins? Or do you interpret it another way? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Wizards underway and in action at Capital One Arena. And that's, of course, where we find the Heist star, Craig Heist. He could be an offensive coordinator inside the division with the Philadelphia Eagles next year. Yikes. That ain't good for the Redskins defense. I'll tell you that much. Old Jack Del Rio and Ronnie Rivera, Riverboat Ron, going to have their hands full dealing with that. Because you know they're going to get some receivers. They already got two pretty damn good tight ends and a good young running back and a pretty good quarterback when he's standing. And they've already got one of the most aggressive offensive head coaches who's already won a Super Bowl and makes the playoffs every year, Doug Peterson. And Kevin O'Connell could make them a lot better. Could. That's going to be interesting if he winds up there. Redskins fans should probably be rooting for him to take the Browns job. There's even been mentioned rumors that he could wind up with the LA Rams because Sean McVay knows how smart he is and how talented he is. And they don't have a pure offensive coordinator. They have like a run game coordinator and a pass game coordinator. maybe McVay looking to remodel his coaching staff a little bit going into year four after letting go of Wade Phillips, is looking for somebody else to shake it up a little bit. Lord knows Jared Goff certainly needs it, because he took a major step back right around week 12 last year. Not this past year, the year before, the year they actually went to the Super Bowl. He struggled down the stretch, struggled in the playoffs. He played well at times, struggled in the playoffs, and then largely was not good this year. He had a couple of good games. He wasn't good this year. So that could be interesting there. Redskins fans should probably hope that Kevin O'Connell does not wind up inside the division, if we're being honest, if we're being totally honest. And I try and strive to be nothing but honest. Back to our conversation about the quarterback situation. When you hear Ron Rivera say, "I think he can be a franchise-style quarterback," but then say in the same answer, veteran quarterbacks are going to play, even though, quite honestly, the only veteran quarterback right now under contract is one that can't play. Now, that doesn't prevent you from bringing back Case Keenum. As a matter of fact, I think there's a chance that can happen. Maybe a decent chance. But he's not saying, look, guys, you know, I'll never forget. In 2012, and I think this was a mistake by Mike Shanahan, but what else was he supposed to do? Rookie minicamp, early May. As a matter of fact, it was my daughter's birthday. The Redskins were kind enough, Tony Wiley and whatever, Mike Shanahan, Robert. They were all nice enough to spend a little time with her, you know, give her a tour. All that. I mean, it was a great day. I appreciate it very much. But that day, at the end of rookie minicamp, so we're talking, I think it was maybe it was 2 weeks after the draft. It may have been 1 week. I can't remember. Mike Shanahan said on the podium, Robert Griffin III is our starter. Now, everybody knew that's what was going to happen. But I think that was ultimately a mistake by the Redskins and Shanahan, if that was his pure decision. Because ultimately, Robert didn't have to earn it. Right? So when Rivera comes out and says, look, I think, and maybe we're parsing words here, but I think is different than he can be. He feels, I think, he can be a franchise-style quarterback. But there's these veteran guys over here. And then when he says, he needs to become a leader. Listen, the Carolina Panthers had the pick right after the Redskins in the first round. And they knew that something wasn't quite right with Cam Newton. And as a part of the process anyway, you should be doing your due diligence on everyone. So I would presume that Ron Rivera had a pretty good scouting report and a pretty good understanding of who Dwayne Haskins was as a quarterback and as a person. I don't know. I would have to double check, and I haven't had time to check. I don't know if they actually met one-on-one with him at either the combine or on a private visit. I doubt the private visit. That would have generated a lot of headlines, I think. I don't remember that being a thing, but I don't know if they met with him, meaning Haskins, at the combine, right? When you get a kid in the room for, 20 minutes or whatever it is, and you put him up on the board, especially if he's a quarterback, and you find out a little bit of what he knows, right? So we have no idea what Ron Rivera actually thinks of Dwayne Haskins. We still don't. I heard J.P. Finley on today with Chad. I think next week you'll find out that Cam Newton, that Ron Rivera likes Dwayne Haskins. Okay. Listen, J.P. Finley has a lot of great inside information. I'm sure those stories will come out, which was his way of saying, by the way, on NBC Sports Washington next week, we're going to have exclusive quotes or an exclusive source or whatever that Ron Rivera is infatuated, is in love with Dwayne Haskins. And I would just point out, Jay Gruden said those same things about Robert Griffin III. And I would just point out, Mike Shanahan, at one point, not exactly effusively in his praise, but he said similar things about Robert Griffin III. It's easy to like someone when you're dating, when you're living with somebody, when you have to share the same household, the same bedroom, the same bathroom, the same bed, the same kitchen, same house, the same bills, the same money, the same children, the same TV. It's a lot harder. So nothing that is going to come out next week is going to make me change my mind, which is this. I don't think Ron Rivera sold completely on Dwayne Haskins. Not saying he doesn't like him. Not saying he doesn't think he can be something. But the point is, and I think he was pretty clear in his words, remember, he watched 4 game tapes of Dwayne Haskins and wrote a report on every player. Now, he only had 4 on Haskins because he missed the last game and a half. So he actually had 4.5. But he missed the last game and a half, right? And Dwayne Haskins played against him in his final game as Carolina Panthers head coach. And Dwayne Haskins wasn't great in that game. So my sense right now on a Friday night, 7:45, is Ron Rivera is not sold on Dwayne Haskins. Is that a problem for you? Or is that a good thing in your eyes? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll get to Chuck in Bethesda in just a couple of moments. Chuck, hang in there. It's a quick break. We don't have any commercials. Nobody's been selling anything. We are coming right at you. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Is it a problem if Ron Rivera is not sold on Dwayne Haskins right now? Is it a problem? 800-636-1067 on the Fan. All right, let's get to it on the phones. 800-636-1067 before we get to Alan Alexandria. Get to Chuck in Bethesda on the Fan. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Hey, Rooster, again, you just have great shows.
Oh, thank you.
You get if you were a surgeon, you go right to the nerve on topics. And it's I'm serious. It's great. There's a lot of radio shows. No, I mean it, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
A couple different things. First thing is, this guy is not sold on Haskins at all. He left the door sitting wide open. Mm-hmm. And I think that he has an understanding with Snyder. Start winning right now. Evaluate, not, doesn't mean you're going to dump the kid. But if there's a veteran out there that we can get in here, mm-hmm. because they have a problem. They're making money through the split that through TV. But when it comes to fannies in the seats and merchandise, that business model has cratered. And I think that he said, you got your plan, go forth. If the kid can get it done, go with the kid. But if you want to go out there and get yourself a seasoned vet, let's do it under the guise of the plan.
Well, here's my question, Chuck, because I agree with you. You know, like, to me, now they could bring back Case Keenum, I suppose, but he no longer has an advantage because they're going to run a different terminology, so he would have to learn another language. The only advantage he would have is, you know, he did a pretty decent job at times last year. They moved the ball through the air at times last year, but he was banged up, he was injured, he was a good ping pong player, and a good leader. Right? Well, they got rid of the ping pong table, and now they have other leaders, you know? So, like, I don't know if that's the guy. I know Colt McCoy, unfortunately for him, or maybe it's fortunate for him, he's not the guy. I don't think Alex Smith is going to be ready to be trusted and ready, period. So that speaks to me of somebody from the outside, right? A proven veteran option from outside. The question is, who? I've got a name that I'm going to give in the 8 o'clock hour that I think is really intriguing.
Oh, I'm waiting to hear that one.
Okay.
I think you're correct. I think the door is wide open. I want to go to Kevin O'Connell.
Yes.
That's dangerous, man. You get somebody to mentor Wentz and open up that offense, somebody who's got a really bright mind. Also is keenly aware of the defense and the capabilities of the defense, that could spell big trouble against the Eagles. Thank you for a great show.
For the Eagles. But thank, yeah, exactly. No, I appreciate it, and thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate it. It's very nice of you. Thank you. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Do we have time for Al, or do we have to go? Yeah, we have time. All right, let's go to Al in Alexandria here before the top of the hour. Al, how are you?
Rooster, I'm doing good, man. Merry New Year to you and the family.
Merry New Year. Thank you. Same to you, my friend.
And
happy 4th of July.
Hey, yeah, and Merry Thanksgiving. just with both your topics, I'll start with Haskins, just as the previous caller did. I think you, as well as most other people, noticed that over the last few games, he definitely progressed in pocket presence and going through progressions and getting better as an NFL quarterback. But I don't blame Ron Rivera for anything that he said about him, because he only did that over a 4 or 5 game, you know, whatever we just said, like 4.5 game span. So it's not like even in Kyler Murray's, you know, situation where he did it the entire season, or Jones when he came in after week 2, minus getting hurt a couple weeks. Like, he only did it for a few weeks. So I can see whatever Ron Rivera said and getting behind that, in that, like, hey, Rook, you need to earn this. And you know, you have the whole off season to earn it. And hopefully that kind of lights a fire under him and gets him going this off season and learning the new offense and the new terminology. And, you know, I remember some of the reports, whether it was Craig Hoffman or somebody else, talking about how Haskins and the wide receivers were already planning their get-togethers for the off season, and, you know, that kind of stuff excites me. I'm a season ticket holder. My father took them over from his father, so we've had the tickets for 70-plus years. It was depressing this year going to the games, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, the last few games we went just to watch Haskins and see his progression. And so I take his words kind of with a grain of salt, because like the previous caller and you just said, unless they're bringing someone in from the outside, he showed enough over the last few weeks that he's probably the option going forward, unless they find, a gem. And then as far as Kevin O'Connell goes, that situation to me is one of those where you look at it, and I know he was handcuffed by Callahan, most likely in terms of how creative and what plays he could call, but the offense didn't really do anything over the last half of the season after Jay Gruden got fired to, like, impress me so much that we had to keep him. And I know that you guys and the people around him know how sharp he is, and I get that. Like, Kyle Shanahan is an offensive guru, and we see what McVay did, and you know, he was in the same room as those guys. But as a lifelong fan, I'm at that situation where we've been so bad for so long that blowing everybody out and kind of starting over doesn't bother me that much.
Mm-hmm.
However, him going in division would kind of scare me.
Yeah.
So if he went to Cleveland, I would say it's similar to the Kirk Cousins situation.
Yes.
Like if he went to Cleveland, I would wish him the best and hope that they kick ass. But if he goes in division, I'm kind of like, man, I hope he was as bad as the Redskins team that couldn't break 20 points.
That's the problematic part of this. It's one thing to lose him. It's another thing to have to face him twice a year and see what he could do in that division with a real quarterback who's experienced and obviously his only issue is staying healthy as well a progressive and aggressive Super Bowl winning head coach who gets to the playoffs every year with, I would say, somewhat limited talent and limited options, certainly created by Carson Wentz's inability to stay on the field. Really good call, Al. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving and all that to you. I have a feeling that's going to last forever around here, right? The, you know, kind of, hey, happy Easter on like November 15th kind of thing. Just because, damn. Greg Heist is next from Capital One Arena here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.